If you would this morning, take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. Matthew, chapter number 7, we're going to uncover and see some things today. We're going to see a very famous verse in the Scriptures. All of this Sermon on the Mount is very popular and well-known and often misunderstood, but we're going to see the Golden Rule today. Some people talk about the Golden Rule as their religion. The Golden Rule is not religion at all. You can't keep the Golden Rule unless you know the Savior. And we're going to see some beautiful things from God's Word. We're asking God to work in His Word and teach us and convict us, move in our hearts today. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." We come to verse 12, and the Bible says, and I've emphasized in my reading and even in the markings of my Bible the word therefore. Because anytime you find the word therefore in the Bible, you need to find out what it's there for, because it's always pointing back to the context of the Scripture. And Jesus is dealing with some things that are very important. He's dealing with a judgmental spirit and judgmental attitude that shouldn't be the demeanor of God's people. He's dealing with prayer. He's dealing with a relationship to God. He's actually dealing with some things that declare me incapable, but God all capable. And he says, in light of the context of the Scripture, he says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You may have heard it said like this, do unto others as you would have them do unto you." And what a wonderful truth. And what a wonderful principle and something that we should aspire to live by. And it's true, it works. But we must always remember that it is God and our relationship to our Savior and our submission to the leadership and the power of God that enables us to accomplish the will of God. Some people want to take this verse of Scripture and say, this is my religion. This is how I'm going to live. But if you're honest with yourself, it doesn't take very long for you to realize that I really have a hard time doing unto others as I would have them do unto me. The next time you get in a traffic jam, see how easy it is to do unto others you'd have them do unto you. Come on in here. Just come right in front of me. I don't mind that you just went down the median for 300 yards and you want to cut in front of me. I'm going to do unto others as I would have them do. How many of you have ever failed? And God's people said, oh me. You get mistreated in the line of the DMV. Oh me. There's only one cash register open at Walmart and 700 people checking out. Oh me. All through the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus is preaching to a group of folks who had attempted to please God with religion and works and good deeds. And all through it, Jesus is letting them know that you are not capable of keeping the law. You're not capable in yourself of pleasing God. But God has sent His Son, and Jesus is preaching the message. God has sent His Son that you might have victory through Christ, that you might have forgiveness of sin, that you might have power over the flesh. Not in your own strength, your own abilities, but through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we come to this passage of Scripture, and straight out of the gate, Jesus looks at this group of people and says, "Judge not that you be not judged." And I want you to know something. I don't know of another version of the Scripture that is misquoted and misapplied more than this passage of Scripture. There are people, it's the heathen's life verse. I preached the message on this verse of Scripture on Wednesday night, and I'm just going to buzz through a few things. It's the heathen's life verse. Anybody that wants to do sinful things and live a life that's against God, they want to go to Christians and say, "Well, the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged." I don't buy that. I look at them and say, "Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:15, he that is spiritual judgeth all things." And there's not a contradiction in Scripture, but we must get to the Spirit and the truth that God is wanting us to understand. God is saying to this group of people, you have been led by a group of religious nuts that believe somehow that they have got the authority over you and they are judgmental. If you don't dot their T's and cross their I's and dress the way they think you should dress and say the words you think they should say and do the deeds they think you should do, then you're not right. And that's judgmental. And God's people, Christian people, are not to have a judgmental, ill-tempered, fault-finding spirit. That's for you too and me too. It's so easy for us to look down our long religious noses and look at people and say, "They don't dress the way I do or talk the way I do or act the way I do," and judge them and judge their motives. And God says, that's wrong. But this is not a prohibition from judging between what is right and wrong. God gives us every right and every authority and even commands us to judge spiritually. You see, if Jesus was telling us in Matthew 7:1, to never judge or never say that's wrong or that's right, He could have not possibly said in verse number 15 of the same chapter, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." He couldn't possibly have said, "Don't judge people," and then I want you to notice and pay attention and make a judgment when you see somebody that's a wolf in sheep's clothing. But He was saying, give people the benefit of the doubt. Give them a chance. Don't be judgmental, critical, hypercritical. But I'll just tell you something. It's confession time in front of the whole crowd. I have a hard time not being critical. I have a hard time not being judgmental. I have a hard time not acting out in a traffic jam. And I have a hard time not acting out, especially at Walmart. But God makes it possible. How many of you would be honest enough to say, "I have a hard time not being critical"? Amen. Me too. You see, it's a good place to get to when you realize I cannot in my flesh please God. Because when you get to that place where you realize I can't in my flesh please God, and you understand I can't do unto others as I'd have them do unto me, that points you in the right direction. Amen. Calvary. Right. Because it's Jesus that can help you do what you need to do. It's Jesus that will give you the ability to overcome the sins of the flesh. It's Jesus that will meet your every need. We find these truths in God's Word. Today's message is titled this, Keeping the Golden Rule. Keeping the Golden Rule. Look what the Bible says in verse number 12. "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Keeping the Golden Rule. Folks, I want you to know something. It is impossible in my flesh to keep it, but it should be my goal. It should be my goal. The Bible says, he that hath friends must show himself. That's right. The Bible says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. It's interesting to note that there were philosophers that actually have things that published that we can get our hands on today before the time of Christ. And they had their own form of the golden rule. People like Aristotle, Socrates, folks like that. I don't know exactly which ones of them said this kind of thing, but I've got some notes on it somewhere. There was a law and a philosophy that was pre-Christ. It was actually the negative of the golden rule. See, Jesus comes on the scene and he says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. The negative of the golden rule that was popular in culture was this: don't do unto others as you would have them not do unto you. So basically, don't mistreat somebody. Don't hurt somebody. Don't steal from somebody. Now that was good rule and nice and everything. But Jesus brings love and a burden to help others on the scene. And Jesus makes perfect the golden rule. You see, it's not only about, I'm not going to mistreat you. I'm not going to steal from you. I'm not going to rob you. I'm not going to punch you in the nose so that I can keep you from punching me in the nose or stealing or robbing. You get the point? Jesus says, hang on. There's a greater motive. There's a greater purpose. There's something more important. And this is Christian. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You see, the life of the Christian is to be proactive. We're to be doing right and good and going the extra mile, the second mile. We're going above and beyond. Do unto others. You see, it's easy for us to sit at home and say, boy, I would like somebody to visit me. When you have that urge in your heart for somebody to visit you, I declare to you, do unto others you'd have them do unto you. I wish somebody would call me and talk to me a little bit. I declare unto you, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I wish somebody would bring me a meal. I declare to you, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I wish somebody would be nice for a change. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I wish somebody would give me $1 million. I'm just kidding. Generosity is not excluded from this principle. You see, Jesus says, do unto others as you'd have Him do unto you. And we're going to learn with God's help keeping the golden rule. Number one, keeping the golden rule begins with my need for God. It begins with my need for God. The Bible says here and teaches us that we should not be judgmental. And the Bible gives us this picture. There's a man walking around with a fence post in his eye, and he's looking and trying to pick little splinters out of somebody else's eye. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Jesus says, hey, look, take the beam out of your eye so you can see clearly to help other people. And we should help other people, and we should do right. Then he says in verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Immediately, in the context of being of judging and not judge, not that you be not judged, Jesus is saying, when you do make judgment, don't cast your pearls before swine. He says you're going to have to understand there's some people that aren't ready to hear the gospel. There's some people that aren't ready to receive, and you don't cast your pearls before the swine, you're going to have to go about this a different way. How many of you ever tried to put a string of pearls on a pig? You put a string of pearls on a pig in a cartoon or a movie, and they stand up on their hind leg and do ballet, you know? But you put a string of pearls on a pig out on the farm, they don't care if they got pearls or not. If it don't taste good, and if it's not something they can eat, all you do is trample it under your feet. I don't know about you, but when I read this and I think about being judgmental, being critical, we come back to the point we've been making. I have a hard time with it. And I believe when we come to this portion of Scripture, we put all of the pieces together, I believe God wants us to know, you need me. You need me. You need me. Lots of us, even in the last few days, have faced things that were completely out of our control. And when we come to those moments when things are completely out of our control, God is not making us weak so that He can hurt us. God is making us weak so that we can rest in the greatest strength there is. And when we come and see our need for a Savior, that we are sinners and our sin separates us from God and condemns us to hell forever, it is not that bad feeling. The conviction is not to hurt us. It is God in love saying, you need me. You need me. Folks, I want you to know something. If you're going to keep the golden rule, you must first understand your need of God. Keeping the golden rule begins with my need for God. Number two, keeping the golden rule continues in prayerful dependence on God. So if I need God, how do I get God? If I need God, how do I get God? Is our relationship to God some random circumstance that just may happen or may not? Absolutely not. We have direct access to God through Jesus Christ in prayer. And once again, at a moment in this Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus declares to us our great weakness and inability, He says, hey, I want you to turn your direction to this wonderful subject, the subject of prayer. You see, if we're going to keep the golden rule, we're going to get the strength we need from God. The Bible says in verse number 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What does God say? This is a beautiful promise in God's Word. If you ask, it shall be given you. You ask of your loving Father, guess what? He's going to hear and answer your prayer. It may not always look the way you hoped it would look. You know what? When my 4-year-old son said, Dad, can I borrow your shotgun? You know what I said? No. Why? Because I'm a loving father. He asked. I answered. In love. I just happened to know better than he did. The Bible says, ask. And it shall be given unto you. If it don't, the answer doesn't look exactly the way you want to look at that moment, you just have to understand that I'm praying to a loving Father who knows better than I do. But we should ask. You know, asking is something that's hard. I have a hard time asking for things. I really do. I hate rejection, but I'm also a man of pride. So I hate to ask for things. When I finally get the nerve to ask for things that I need to ask for, it's after a long prayer and there's a little bit of a swallow of my pride to ask because I need. But quite frankly, we need to get to the place where we're willing to ask because God has something that we can't possibly have. The first thing we ask for is forgiveness of sin by putting our faith in Christ as our Savior. And if you're here today and you've never confessed your sin to Jesus, you've never humbled yourself and asked Jesus to forgive your sins and be your Savior, I beg of you today, humble yourself because you need forgiveness. You need everlasting life. You need a new birth. And you can't provide it for yourself. You see, we come to Christ as beggars asking. But when we come to Christ as beggars asking, we do not find a cold-hearted judge. We find a loving Father. I don't despise anything that my children ask for. I'm thankful. And they should with great freedom come asking because there are certain things that a father can provide that children cannot. And there are lots of things that our Heavenly Father can provide that we cannot. We must ask. We must ask. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. It's fascinating to me to see this progression. You see, asking is the beginning, and seeking continues our prayer life. Folks ask God to free them from the bondage of addiction, but every Friday night they find themselves in bars. People ask God to free them from the bondage of addiction, but on Friday night they find themselves around a crowd of people. They're doing the wrong thing. You see, asking is the beginning, but we have the opportunity to seek, and we put feet to our prayers. You know why we often fail to seek? Because we have no ambition for God. You see, the things we want on earth, guess what? We seek after them. And we'll ask, and then we'll seek. We'll go to work, and we'll try to get it because we put a lot of stock in what this world has to offer. But you know that God has more to offer than the world has to offer, and we should therefore be seeking God. You see, the greatest fulfillment you could ever have is found in a relationship with God and His Word. But we fail to seek it. We fail to seek it because we have no vision for what God can do in our lives. Do you know that God can change your family for His glory? Do you know that God can change your circumstances for His glory? Do you know that God can fix the things that burden you so much? Do you know that God and God alone can give you peace and joy and satisfaction, complete you? Only God. Yet we fail to seek. We fail to seek. Raphael, another one of the Ninja Turtles. He was a painter. The real Raphael. He was a painter. Someone asked him one day, they said, "What is your greatest work?" And he said, "The next one." What kind of man was he? He was a man of vision. He wanted to see what was next. He had hope for the future. He had a brightness. He said, "This is not all that I have to offer." And for the Christian, we should understand that this is not all there is. God has something great for us to experience right here, right now, if we put our confidence in Him. Raphael said, "My next one." He was looking to see what was next. How many of you drove a Pierce Arrow to church today? How many of you even know what a Pierce Arrow is? How many of you have ever driven a Pierce Arrow? I'd like to see that. Got a couple takers. In 1910, the CEO of Pierce Arrow, for all of you youngins, including myself, it's a car. In 1910, the CEO of Pierce Arrow made this statement as they rolled out the new 1910 version of the Pierce Arrow on the scene. He said, "There will never be a more advanced car made." I bet he wished he didn't say that. But I'm afraid that for a lot of us, that's the idea we have about our relationship with God. The best that God could have possibly given me is in the past. The best that I could have ever had, the best experience of life that I could ever have has got to be in the past. The glory days have got to be behind. Folks, I want you to know something. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Revival can happen in Chilhowee Baptist Church greater than it's ever happened before. God can change things in your life and your experience greater than you've ever known or you could ever imagine. Amen. We need to be looking to see what God can do and what God will do. Yeah. How do we get it? Asking and seeking God. Seek. I beg of you, don't be this kind of person that says, "I dread these kids having to grow up in this world." When I look at every young person that's coming through this church and the two that are being raised at my house, I say, "Lord, use them as sharp arrows to start a fire in this world, to win the lost of Christ, to do something great, something like we've never seen before." Asking God, seeking God for great things. Ask, seek, knock. We must have prayerful dependence on God. The knocking continues. It moves from seeking to knocking. It should have this idea. We're knocking on our Father's door, right? By the way, He will answer. Knocking. What are we knocking for? We're knocking because we want to be welcomed in. We're knocking because we want to sit down and have conversation. We're knocking because in that house there is something that will help us. We're knocking because in the presence of God is something that will help our family. We're knocking because in God's presence and in God's will is something perfect. We're declaring our dependence on God, seeking God. You see, that's what the Lord wants us to do. That's what we should do. It should be the ambition of our hearts to prayerfully depend on God. The Scripture continues in verse 9. What man is there of you whom if his son asks bread will give him a stone? Folks, I want you to know something. When you prayerfully depend on God, it's like a son to a father. It's like a son to a father. It's like a son to a godly father. If my son asks bread and he's hungry, I'm not going to throw him a rock. Eat this. No, I'm going to do what I need to do to get him bread. Because that's what a loving father does. I'm not going to, if my son, verse number 10, would like to have a fish for his nurture, to help him, to feed him, I'm not going to throw him a serpent, something that might hurt him. No. I don't do that. I'm not going to do that. The Bible says in verse number 11, in contrast, if ye then being evil, what does the Lord say? He says, look, you're fathers and you love your children, but you're evil. He didn't make any bones about it, did he? You're evil. You know, we're all evil. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus makes us righteous when we put our faith in Him and seek Him for forgiveness of sin. He says, if you're evil as a father and you give good gifts, the Bible says, and you know how, verse 11, how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Do you know how we need to live? Prayerful dependence to God. If you're going to give good gifts to your son, your father is going to give greater gifts to you. He's going to meet your need. He's going to make you complete and able. He's going to give you what you cannot possibly get for yourself. It leads us to the last point, number 3. Keeping the golden rule. It concludes in faithful obedience to God. Before we read verse 12, we need to think one more time. God has said, hey, I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to help you to not be judgmental. I'm going to help you to know what's right. Through prayer, I'm going to give you the things that you need to be complete. I'm going to bless your life above and beyond imagination as you seek me. I'm going to be your loving Father. And because God is our benevolent, loving, generous, gracious, forgiving, patient, kind, Heavenly Father, because of who God is and His relationship to us, Jesus says, therefore, because God is what He is and who He is for you, He says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Because God is so good to you, in turn, you should do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Not only that, but because God is so good to you, you can do unto others as He would have you do unto you. You see, God is our great enabler. He gives us the ability to be obedient. He blesses our lives. You see, we should do unto others. What's the practical application of this message? Number 1, if you're here today and you're not saved, there's never been a time when you asked Jesus to come into your heart, forgive your sins, and be your Savior. You're depending on some type of personal righteousness to get you to heaven. I want you to know something. The wages of sin is death. Hell forever. You cannot possibly earn your way into heaven. Salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You need to humble yourselves and ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive your sins, and be your Savior. If you're here today and you are a Christian, don't limit what God wants to do with your life. The peace and the joy and the fulfillment that He can use your life for and do in your hearts. Therefore, pray dependently on the Lord, asking, seeking, and knocking. Thirdly, with God's help, leave this place this week not only doing not unto others as you'd have them not do unto you, but with a generous hand led by the Spirit of God, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Amen. Give. Give generously. Represent our Savior with every deed and every word and every action. Keep the golden rule. God will help you. He'll have to. And He will. Keeping the golden rule. Let's pray.